And I'm only going to do one of the points that I have. I'm going to do two. Yeah. Okay. Let's pray. Father, just pray that you would be with us as we go through these quick points, Lord, and think about just how to live in the midst of difficulties. In Jesus' name, amen. We studied the letter of 1 Peter while we were there, obviously because 1 Peter was written to a suffering people. And in chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." I was really struck that in a moment and in a time of suffering of this church, Peter would write to them to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. Humility is something that never changes. God never changes his opinion on that. He wants humility from us. He wants us, if it's an attribute that he wants to work in us, it is humility. And I had some areas that I wanted to talk about. But humility is so important for Jesus. When the 70 disciples came back from serving the Lord, you know what they said? They came back so happy. They said, "Even the demons obey us." They were so happy. And Jesus sometimes says things that at first when I read it just doesn't make sense to me. And I got to tell him, I said, "Lord, it doesn't make sense to me what you're saying here. It just seems so contradictory to what they were saying." And he said this, "I saw Satan fall down like lightning." I'm like, what? What does that have to do with Jesus? Even the demons believe us. And it has everything to do with it. You see, Satan was a cherubim. Satan was a worship, they say, a worship leader in heaven. The closest to God. But at one point, iniquity, sin was found in his heart. And his sin was pride. He says, "I want to be like the Most High." He had this desire of control, this desire for power. And Jesus said, "Do not rejoice that the demons believe you, but rejoice that your names are written in the book of life." It's crazy. To me, the contrast is amazing. I saw Satan fall down like lightning. Do not rejoice in that demons obey you, which is a gift or an authority, but rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. And I find that so amazing because you see, with gifts, we're different, aren't we? Some people are gifted in different ways, and we just think to ourselves, "Oh man, that person is so amazing. That person seems so important." Be careful, because the name being in the book of life, it means at the cross, all men are equal. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So Jesus doesn't want our identity to be found in gifts, Jesus wants our identity to be found at the cross. There, true humility is found. Because the more we grow, the more we realize we have sinned. And the more we realize we have sinned, the more we need Jesus. And the more we need Jesus, the more we realize that He's the only one that is worthy. And humility gets worked into us. That's why, as we saw in chapter 4 and chapter 5, when the elders throw the crowns before Jesus, they've gotten crowns, but they say, man, we are not worthy. You are worthy. Once you see your name on that list to enter eternal glory, you realize there's nothing worthy about me. Humility is essential. As a matter of fact, Saul, when he began in the ministry, was humble. And at one point, he just grew more and more proud. And Samuel had to say to him, when you were little in your own eyes. When you were little in your own eyes. That's amazing to me. That phrase never leaves me. It's like, I think about it. When you were little in your own eyes. When we are little in our own eyes is when we are strongest. This thing about self-esteem is a cancer. And I'm not saying we need to be sober. We should not think too high of ourselves, and we should not think dirt of ourselves. We should be realistic. But we should be little in the sense that we realize how great God is. That in comparison, we're just small. When you were little in your own eyes, I'm not worthy of this. Sometimes we become so demanding. Do you not know who I am? No. Who cares? I mean, there was one pastor in Cuba that says, we've come here to serve. And I don't just want you guys to serve teaching the word. I want you guys to serve the plates to the people. And there we were, serving 700 people with plates. And part of me was like, I don't feel like doing this. I'm tired. You know, we all have pride in us. And it says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. Where should we be humble? I believe we should be humble in prayer. Oftentimes, you know, we are proud in prayer. We demand things from God. We claim things from God. Where I don't see that in the scriptures. In the scriptures, I see people who humbly go to God in prayer. In sackcloth, in ashes. They kneel. Humility in prayer. Humility and even in our view of ourselves. Remember the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee is there in prayer and he's like, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like that guy. Where the tax collector, he couldn't even look up to God. And he said, Lord, I'm not even worthy. He says, who do you think went home justified? Humility. Humility in our relationships. I asked the group at church, at the conference, I said, when was the last time that you said sorry to your kids? When is the last time that as a parent you said, I made a mistake, I am sorry? When is the last time that we said sorry to our husbands, to our wives? When is the last time that we said sorry to a friend? Another thing that I found really interesting is humility when people do things to us. Remember when David was thrown, they threw stones at David, and he says, hey, just let him. In the past, he was ready to kill people. Just let him. There was a humility there. And in I want you to read this verse for yourself, Ecclesiastes 7:21, because you won't believe me that's in the Bible unless you read it. It's Ecclesiastes 7:21. It says, you guys there?
No.
Okay, I'll wait. I want you to read it with me because it's just so amazing.
Okay.
7:21. It says, also do not take to heart. Everybody there?
Yeah.
Also do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your own servant cursing you. For many times also, your own heart has known that even you have cursed others. Isn't that amazing, Ecclesiastes? Another translation says, don't take it too hard when people speak against you, because you in your heart also know that in the past you've done it to other people as well. And you know, we have to be careful, because sometimes we can be so annoyed that someone did something to us and not be able to see that we've actually done the same thing to others. So we should therefore be humble about it. Pride is ugly. But then it brings me to my next thing where, you know, obviously the devil wants to attack us. He wants to make us proud. He wants to oppress us. He wants to condemn us. And notice what in Peter, what it said. It said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks about. And it's a real warning. But notice what it says in verse 10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, and strengthen and settle you. And these four words are amazing, because to perfect is to put in order things that are not in order. I want you to notice something. This is something God is going to do, to put in order things in your life that are not in order. The word also means to fix, like to mend the nets. You know, if you have nets that are broken up after fishing, they get caught up in the bottom, they get ripped, so therefore the fish can go through it. So the fishermen actually fix them and make them whole. It also means to put a bone back in its place. Or it means when a boat comes to harbor to be repaired that has been damaged. Isn't that amazing that Jesus wants to put us whole, to put in order, to fix us? And he says, you know what? And this is in connection, in direct connection, when Jesus told Peter, Satan is asked to sift you as wheat, but after you suffered a little while, when you come back, strengthen your brethren. Well, in the same way, Peter's saying to these people, when you've suffered a little while, God is going to strengthen you again. The second word is to establish. Now, this is interesting, because to establish here, it means support from pressure from without. I told the Cubans, I could never live here. And you should have seen their faces. They were like, it's harsh. Yes. They can now. Now they're able to leave. But the reason you're going to understand, I'm afraid of hurricanes. I went through a hurricane in Maryland, which is north. I told them, I lived in Maryland, and that is north. And Gloria came. That was her name. People are putting wooden boards on the windows, and I'm just like, I can't do this. What in the world's going on? I was scared. But you know what tornadoes and hurricanes have in contrast? Hurricanes come from without. It's pressure from without. Tornadoes is different. Sucks everything. So it's pressure from within. And I said, you know what? I am too scared of hurricanes. I need that support from without. I mean, I'm afraid of being collapsed from outside. And you know what? It says that Jesus wants to support us from that pressure that comes from the outside. He wants to put pillars there. Isn't that amazing? Because oftentimes, don't you feel like you're going to be crushed? But the Bible, Paul says, we are hard-pressed but not crushed. So he wants to sustain us from within, from the pressure that comes from without. But then, the fourth word is really interesting too, because it says strengthen. And that word strengthen is actually to prevent us from falling apart from the inside. Falling apart from the inside. Now, sometimes we might be able to take pressure from the outside, but we feel on the inside like we could collapse. I remember when I first got married with Loretta, I remember singing one song, "Sometimes my life just don't make sense at all. When the mountain seems so high, my faith just seems so small. So help me, Jesus." And then it talks about just being really, really fragile on the inside. Have you ever felt that way? Where somebody could just say one word and you just collapse from the inside? And Peter, knowing he had denied the Lord, he wept bitterly. Peter, knowing that, says he is going to strengthen you from the inside. He's going to hold you together. He's going to prevent you from sinking on the inside. And the last one is settle you, and that has to do with a foundation. He wants to make us stable. And obviously, he wants to do that in three areas of our life: in our mind, in our hearts, and in our will. Now, when Peter says this, I understand that there's a part where we need to play a part in what he's asking us to do. But when Peter says this, he's not saying we are going to do it. He's saying he is going to do it. And the people of God that have walked with them throughout history are people who have trusted not in their own ability, but in his ability. There are three tenses in the Bible of salvation. He has saved us, he is saving us, and he will save us. And you know, sometimes I get the feeling that we live... He has saved us and he will save us, but we don't live in the present. He is saving us. He is restoring us. He is settling us. He is holding us together. 1 Timothy says, he who is able to keep what I have entrusted to him. 2 Corinthians says, and who is sufficient for these things? 2 Corinthians 3, 1 through 6, it says, we are not able of our own, but he will make us competent. And you know that this change, this help, this power that comes into our lives from God, at times is instantaneous. And at times, it is a process. At times, it's instantaneous, and at times, it's a process. I think when Peter denied the Lord, within 50 days, the guy was different. Within 50 days. I mean, he denied the Lord, and within 50 days, he's like, they told him to shut up. And he says, you judge for yourselves. Should we obey you or God? You see the moral difference, the strength that he received on the inside? It was instantaneous. It was through the power of the Holy Spirit that had come upon Peter. Instantaneous change, fortification, dynamic, dynamite, as it says. But I'm sure that Peter had to grow as a Christian through the years, right? I mean, Paul at one point says, Peter played the hypocrite. and he needed to be strengthened. And today what I would like to do is I would like for now, as we close and as we sing the last song, I would like you to pray for a bit of that instantaneous strength. I would like you to pray for him to fill you with his Holy Spirit, for him to strengthen you from within against the pressure from without, hold you together from within for the pressure that is inside, establish you and put a foundation there where you will not be easily shaken. I would like to ask you to have maybe a moment where you're not just at a place where you say, well, through the years I'll become stronger. But like it says, even the youth grow weak. God doesn't, and he renews their strength. And as I shared that in Cuba, and as I share this with you, I find myself saying, Lord, I need some strength today. I need some strength today. So, Alex, if you come up.